the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Still good, Mama. I said, you can still do something. Can you, you know, she says, Mom, I'll get you a puppy. Don't try to rush me to having you no babies.
Well, mine, she just turned 39 and we got our first.
Wow. You know, again, women, Janet Jackson had a baby at 50, girl.
Okay. Not that I would want to do that at 50, but you go, girl.
Well, my girlfriend just found out she was pregnant and she's 48.
No.
You're talking about living the dream. She said, oh shit. She said, this is a nightmare. But you know what? God in his perfect timing, and he knows exactly what he wants you to do. She's at that age where she's settled. She ain't doing nothing but sitting at home anyway. She can love on him. She can teach him, you know, all of the things that she probably missed out with her other two.
That's right.
She's going to be a lot more mellowed out. But you are not mellowed out. You are fired up because you are here on the Edge with me and my Brains. Look at who's here. Melinda Cooper Brains.
Hey, you guys.
How
you
doing? Hey, she's coming in, and we are going to have a very spirited conversation about living the dream business. Just really, what does that look like? She's going to sketch it out for us and then frame it. We're going to talk about her contributions as an author to some wonderful anthologies, her truth, her journey, and I may even trick her up with some random questions. So, Brains, help me welcome to the Edge this morning, Melinda Cooper. Hi, baby.
Hi, how are you? It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I can't complain.
I've been looking forward to it.
I have to. You know, I just really need to decompress and, you know, get my head around this new different, because everything's different. Even going to the grocery store. You know, that used to be one of my favorite pastimes. I would go to Costco and my husband would have to pull me out of there, the grocery store. But now you got to be all covered up and 6 feet away from everybody and no samples. Who goes to Costco and can't get a sample?
Okay, what's up with that? What is up with that?
Right? Well, it ain't living the dream, that's for sure.
No,
And it's impacting their sales because those samples would really get to it. So give me a sample of who you are. Let my Brains have a taste of your deliciousness.
Well, I tell you what, I'm Melinda Cooper, and it's Melinda. Do not spell it M-A. The name is M-E-L-I-N-D-A. And it's Cooper. Okay. I tell you what, some people just don't get it. They're like, is that Mad Linda? I'm like, it's M-E. What's up with that? Right. So I'm Melinda Cooper. I always love that, right? I'm Melinda Cooper and I'm the owner, and I'm loving living the dream business. Because for me, living the dream business is about building my business while I'm helping somebody else build their business. Okay, because I'm going to tell you what, I look for people, I even volunteer. I'm like, hey, you need some help? Let me help you, right? Because you know what? I grew up in a world where my parents were entrepreneurs. Then after a while, they decided that they wanted to go and work for somebody else. And they told me, they said, go back to your roots. Go back to your roots and live and make the rules and make the money and do it your way. Right? So really living the dream, if you are living life your way, if you are living it by your rules and you're good with it. Now, I'm not talking about you stomping on somebody else's rules. I'm talking about your own domain. Okay. And I'm talking about the fact that if you're doing it and you love what you're doing and you're serving and helping other people do the same thing, excuse me, now we're all in it together. You see what I'm talking? It's about that we are in it together.
Right. Well, now let me challenge you on that, because I love that. Okay.
Sure. It
then become crabs in a barrel. Because everybody's trying. Yeah. Okay. Lobster. Okay. At least we're not some little old shrimp.
That's right.
We're thinking big. So I understand that. And then you made a statement. You said, do it your way. But now the trajectory of business, relationships, even humanity has changed so much. maybe, you know, maybe we can alter that and not necessarily do it your way, because what I used to deliver to my clients is what I thought. Now I need to deliver to them what they need. So how do you incorporate that in helping a person frame what they need to succeed in this new environment in building a business?
You know, it's still your way, sweetheart. Let me tell you why. Because you used your brains, you used your intelligence, you used your experience, and you recognize, now I have to speak their language. I have to give it to them, right? The way they can understand it, the way they want it, the way they build it, okay? And to me, that's still living your dream, because you're still getting your message out there.
Right.
You're still reaching people and you're still helping people. That's your way.
Absolutely. Okay? So you think your parents were entrepreneurs. What businesses do they have? What kind of business?
Actually, we were tailors.
Ooh.
And we were tailors. And I actually had a line that was called the Melinda line when I was very young. And my mother and I made, because I was very small back then. So I made kids' clothes. And so my mother and I would design the clothes that I liked.
Wow.
And then we would set it up. And what started, how it started was a small, I went to a private Catholic school. And one of the owners had a small business boutique. And he said, where do you always find her, you know, attire, her clothes? Because she's so tiny, right? So how did you do that? And my mother and I smiled real big. And she goes, we make it. You know, we're homemade, right? We make. And the guy told him, he says, no, that clothing is not homemade. And she smiled a little bit. And she says, well, we're tailors. And he says, okay, I want to talk to you about these clothing. So we started making our Melinda line for his store.
Wow.
And we started, and he said, any design that you make for your daughter, make several different sizes, and we'll see how they work and sample it in the store. And that's how we build it. And
you know what that started with? That all started with a conversation. And so many people miss the conversation. That's key. Right. You know, always wanting to talk. Don't talk so much brains. You talk yourself out of a fortune. That's Learn to listen, to be able to color in the white spaces, to be able to fill in the gap. I mean, this man didn't even have any idea that he needed a children's clothing line until you stepped through the door. And your mother didn't realize what an opportunity she had until he said, where'd you get those clothes?
That's right.
So it all starts with the question. And that is building a dream business, is actually trying to define what it is that you want. Now, when you're working with people, any business that they have, what are some of the three key fundamentals that they need to look at when they are trying to design a business?
You know, one of the biggest things that I tell people whenever they talk to me, like, oh, I'd like to do a business. I said, great. I said, before you tell me what you want, right? Because they always come up with this grandeur. I said, I want you to answer one question and we can go from anywhere from there. And they look at me and I said, the first question I have to ask you is, what problem are you solving? Okay. Because it's got to be solving some problem.
Right.
Because you know what? People are out there looking because they have a problem, right? They need some kind of a solution. And if you're not giving their solution, they're going to pass right by you. Mm-hmm. They're going to keep looking until they keep looking, right? Until they find what they're looking for. That's number one. And the second thing is, and my clients, I have a group and they just laugh all the time because whenever somebody new in the group says, oh, you know, because I'll always say, okay, so who's your client? And they go, everyone. And when I used to teach, when I used to coach one-on-one, and I'd have a coach that come, And I'd have a coach that would come in. I'd say, okay, let's, you know, let's get together. Let's talk about it. Let's see. And all of a sudden they would say, I say, who's your, you know, give me an idea of who you think your person is.
Right.
Your avatar, your, you know, whatever you want, your client. And they go, mine is so great. It's everyone. And I said, okay, get in the car. I said, get in the car. So we'd get in the car. We'd go down the road and I'd say, there's the homeless corner. I said, I want you to get out and pitch it. And they look at me and they go, you're being ridiculous. I said, no, ma'am. Oh, no, sir. whatever the client was, I would say, your statement was everyone.
That's right.
Those people are people too. And they have needs. And they are out there.
And they could have been a millionaire falling bad on their luck.
That's right. I said, so unless you know who you're really talking to, maybe not everyone is your client, and maybe everyone is. But until you know what it is, you don't know who your client is. So you can't solve a problem and you can't know your client until you put the two of those together. Who would need what you're selling?
Right.
Who would need what you're willing to provide?
And who's going to be a repeat customer?
That's right.
Because retention is huge and referrals are huge. You know, I tell people all the time, it's not about me talking about On the Edge with April Mahoney. It's about you talking about On the Edge with April Mahoney. Because if I am solving the problem, if I am fulfilling the need, if you are the client that keeps coming back for repeat business, if you are referring me to others, that's success, you know?
That's right.
And being able to scale your business. You know, everybody's trying to come out with these programs, bless their heart. These 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people are trying to pay their mortgage brains. Mm-hmm. They homeschooling. Their car, you know, is jacked up. All of this stuff is going on in the world. So now what you need to do is you got to push volume. You can't maybe get the maximum dollar. You might be able to, you know, knock $500 off. But then you get five more clients, you're still ahead of the game. Would you agree, Melinda?
Absolutely. Actually, that's what I have done. Absolutely, I've done that. I had a course that, you know, I did for a certain time frame. And then I realized in the course that I had some people who needed to go back just a little bit steps backwards, one or two. Mm-hmm. So what I decided was I created a new community. And in that community, you can come in there. It starts November the 15th. And what I'm going to be doing is going out there. And I said, what do you need help with? So for a week long, I'm going to be giving people a taste of that's what you could do with that. Right? Let's go out there. So now this is something that little week might give them something that can help them move again.
Exactly.
Maybe it'll give them something to give them. Oh yeah, gosh, I could do that. I could figure out who the person is. I could figure out what problem I'm solving. I can figure out where they're going to be. Mm-hmm. Now I'm helping them build their business and I'm helping build mine. Because if I give them the good stuff, if I give them the value, and when I help them along, they're going to turn around and say, you know what? We were hitting the skids and Melinda gave it to us.
That's right.
To help us move forward.
And you've given them things to put in their toolbox. That's what you want, Rains. When you're dealing with a coach, or when you're dealing with a mentor, or when you're dealing with a program, you want to be able to have something tangible to take away. I'm not into all of this, you know, here to get this, you got to join this. And to get this, you got to get that. Give me something that I can take away with, that I can gnaw and chew on when I get in this situation again, and then I will be enticed to continue to work with you. But every little thing that I need, I've got to pay an extra to get this and to get that. No. Let's talk a little bit about relationship capital. That's huge in business now. That's what people are investing in, okay? Because the dollar is funky. They don't have a job. They're worried about their business. But relationship capital is something you can always invest in. And with this current climate of what's going on in the world, everybody is at odds with one another. What are some tips that you would give your clients on sustaining and retaining good customer service and building that relationship capital?
You know, one of the things that I have, again, I'm going to tell you, I'm one of these coaches that I have to put it in place so that I can turn around and tell them, this is what I changed and this is how it worked. Right? I wanted to let them know that I took the step forward as well. So one of the things that I started doing, and I do it out there, if you look at my pages, and I've got several of them, I put out there and say, what can I help you with today? I put out a little emoji. People laugh at me that has a magic wand. It's even out there somewhere today. Put out a magic wand and it says, you know what? I'm sharing magic today. What do you need? Right? So I'm letting people write to me and tell me, hey, this is what I need. If I had, I usually pull out either one, a checklist I've already created, two, an ebook I already have in my little pouch, right? Or three, and this is something that people do, and I'm very definite on doing it. If I don't have it, I turn around and I look at my list and say, who has it?
Right.
And I make that connection immediately. I tell them, you know what? I don't have that, but this person uses that. Or this person, you know, he did this, you know, for however many years. I don't know if he can help you, but I'm going to give you that connection.
Exactly. Right. Building the network. It's about building the network, because you can't do everything.
No, please.
And if you do, if you try to do everything, you're going to mess up. My husband is quick to tell me. I said, Mr. Magnificent, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. And he said, baby, you're doing too much.
That's right.
He said, because multitasking is really an oxymoron. What you need to do is you need to focus on one particular thing and give that your undivided attention until you're clear. And then you're clear. And then you move on to the next thing. And then you incorporate what you already learned into what you're learning, into what you are about to learn. So it's a process. And so I totally respect that. And I love the fact that, you know, hey, I'm referral based. You know, if I don't have it, there's somebody that's got it. Your ebooks, you've documented it. You've documented, and there's a resource. Let's talk a little bit about your ebooks, because I know that you are a powerful contributor to some anthologies, but tell me what you have out there in print for people to grab hold to.
Well, you know, I do have two anthology books that I joined in with some really powerful women. And we talk about our journey. We talk about how we believe that as women, our journey has been a little bit different. You know, many of us go with, okay, we're raising a child that has to be on. So the job gets put on the side or the business gets put on the side. You get the idea. One of the things that I have, and I always love to tell this, is that, you know, I was raised, first off, I'm Hispanic. My parents were traditional Hispanic.
For those of you who know what that, almost does.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Exactly. For those of you who know what that means, everybody gets it, right?
Wait, let me ask you a question, though. Do you speak Spanish?
Actually, I do.
You do? Okay, fluently. Now, I didn't
for a long time.
Why?
Actually, my parents were of the age where they believed that you did not speak Spanish because you had to speak English better.
Right, right. And I get that. But I say that, and I'm sorry I stopped you right in your tracks, because you know what? I'm a cultural connoisseur, okay? I love culture. And I love the Hispanic culture because it's very close to the Black culture, indigenous people.
Right.
Tribal people.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I understand that. And it's really odd because my neighbors across the street from me are strong, you know, in their belief, but they had never been to Mexico until I took them.
Oh, well, yeah.
You're 20 minutes from the border.
Yeah. But you'd be surprised how many don't. Right.
Why do you think that is from a cultural perspective? Do you think that, okay, we're in this new land and we really want to prosper, so we want to, we really want to assimilate. We don't have to worry about acculturation because we can do that in the house. We really want to assimilate to mainstream. But you know, some stuff is going on that just went down. Everything has changed. And I really see that, you know, in the Hispanic culture, so many things have been, you know, done and manipulated or whatever, but they are still focusing on assimilating into this country. Do you find that?
Okay. Oh, I do. I do. You know, I will give you a little bit of insight on me. I used to work with the Immigration and Naturalization Service.
Mm.
So I saw it completely from both sides, right? But here's the deal. And I'm going to say this as clear as I can. Those Hispanics, I'm going to put it that way because I'm one of them, okay? Those that
maybe you want to say us Hispanics.
That's right. We, right? Well, actually, I laugh. I tell everybody I'm a coconut, but that's another story. But, you know, we were born on this side. And the reality is that our parents already made the journey. mm-hmm. before we were ever born.
Right.
All right. Maybe they're generation. Actually, I'm Native American Indian. You get the idea. I've got a lot of blend. I've even got some Spaniard in me. But the whole situation is that, so they want to succeed. And I tell people this all the time. Any good parent, I don't care, across the board, what color, what race, what religion, it does not matter. Mm-hmm. Any good parent wants to get their child further than they were, right? They want them to get further. So when you look at that for just a moment, they want to send their kids, as my parents did, they sent me to private Catholic schools. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was the one little Hispanic girl out of my whole class when I was very young. Mm-hmm. I had one of my best friends was the only one little Black girl. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but there we were surrounded by all the Caucasians and we were learning and doing the religion and you get the idea. So the whole thing was that my parents and their parents looked at it as we're going to private schools to get better, mm-hmm. to be able to have better, to be able to grow better.
To be able right? to compete.
To be able to compete. And I will tell you this one story. I rarely tell this story. My parents came from a very, very, very poor background. Very poor. So they really did scrape and save and send us to good educations. Then we turned around and my son was my father's pride and joy. His first grandson, you get the idea. And gratefully, our son got a full scholarship to George Washington University up in DC.
Wow.
So my mother fought cancer for 12 years and she lost the battle before my son graduated from college. But the day, I'm going to try to do this without tears.
Girl, we cry on the edge. It's all right.
The day that my son graduated, or the week, my husband and I flew my father up there so that he could see Washington, D.C., had never seen it, so that he could do that. We flew our daughter, who was in the military, thank you for your service, from Alaska to come see her brother graduate. We walk out of the graduation ceremony, and my father looked straight up. He said, thank you, God. And he said, my mother's name was Mary. He said, Mary, would you look at us? In two generations, we are at the White House.
Wow.
Okay, now you think about that from how poor he was.
Right.
Where they came from to where that was to them. To my father, it was like we had bought the White House. I mean, it was for him, right, it was such, right, such right. a journey, right? And right. at George Washington University and any other of the universities there in Washington, D.C., they have their graduations on the ellipse of the White House. So when you take your graduation shots with your family, you're standing right in front of the White House. Right?
Right.
And so within a year or two, my son actually worked at the White House. He was a speechwriter.
Wow.
So, you know, when you look at that possibility and those kind of things, those are the stories that the Hispanics and any other, I don't care what anybody says, any other person who crosses over and guess what, looking for their American living the dream.
Right.
Those are the kind of stories they want for their children.
Now those I have a very different, and I have a very different experience. When the okay. first time I was in Washington, D.C., I go across the street and there's a slave shack that's still
oh,
there.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, there's a slave shack right there because that White House was built on the backs of Black people. The that's Constitution right. was not written for us. It was being written while we built it. However, we have had as a culture and as a people, an uprising, an awakening, a strength, right. encouragement, because we are all in this land as immigrants.
That's you right. know,
the first Nation people, Native Americans, have been pushed to the side on some Indian reservation.
That's
and
right.
they are indigenous people, just like we are, tribal people. So it That's is right. very important that we understand where we came from, to have a compass and a sense of direction on where we need to go.
That's right.
And absolutely. For your father, that was huge. And for me to look at that slave shack, because civil rights was handed to me, okay? Right. It was on the backs of other people. But that's now right. You and I have a responsibility to reframe it, to reshape it, so that it's bigger and better for my children, for your grandchildren, and the next generation. And that's that right. Includes from the water to the air to... You know,
everything. As long as it's, you know, that's where I tell people all the time, excuse me, we are all still here.
Yep.
I tell people all the time, I don't care if you live across the water or on the water or in the water, we're still here. We're still on this earth together.
We are.
Now, for those who have gone up to Mars and moon and, yeah, congratulations.
That's what I said. I said things are so twisted here. I'm trying to get with Elon Musk and figure out how I get to Mars. Can I get there before it's too late?
That's right. Congratulations and God make it great for the rest of us. You know, you get it, right? But it's like, okay, we have to be together here.
Right.
And to me, that's what part of living the dream is about.
Right.
You know, because we can't sit there and call it solo mio.
Right. Absolutely.
We have to remember that it's about all of us.
Right.
Doing the best we can to reach each other's goals, help each other to reach them.
You know, and that includes giving a hand up and a hand out. And I totally understand that, because again, I can't do it without clients. You can't do it without clients. There's no such thing as a business. People say, oh, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a solopreneur. You, baby, you can't do it by yourself.
That's right.
You know, right.
I have a very dear friend, and she says, you do what you do best, and then you farm out the rest.
Farm out the rest.
And that's right.
And that's what makes you a success. And pay it forward. Invest in people's business. You know, again,
your
own business. We're in the age of Aquarius now. Okay. The trajectory has changed. This is a lunar vortex. So what you need to do is we need to kind of start working together, but we need to do it the right way.
That's right.
Use our ability. Absolutely.
That's right. You use your brains.
You got to use it.
You got to use your brain. You have to use your experience. You have to use what made you fall and what made you stand back up. And then what made you think of where you're going next.
Shoot.
All of that comes into your basket.
We need to go on and take this conversation on the road, because people just don't get it. And it's very simple. You know, it's time to, you know, put a Band-Aid on it, lick your wounds, you know, put your big girl, big boy panties on and keep it moving.
That's right.
Or you're going to be left behind. You know, I'll be telling people all the time, I'm not worried about the ones that done went on to glory, because I'm just ticking off a list of people that I've lost personally and other, you know, big name figures in the world. And I'm saying to myself, I'm more worried about us that's left behind.
Well, I tell people all the time, you know, my mother suffered for 12 full years of cancer. And when I say suffer, she literally became a vegetable. I normally don't tell people that, but she was in a bed. She could not move. We were the ones who fed her, flipped her, you name it. Okay. And I tell everybody, at that moment, I realized, talk about humble pie, to find the most strong, courageous, wonderful, your hero, to be brought down to such a manner. And I tell everybody all the time, I said, my mother passed on my birthday. And when she did, everybody was like, oh my God, that must be horrible. I said, why? I said, because she gave me life on that day, and God gave her a new life on that day.
That's right.
We both get to celebrate. Okay.
You do get to celebrate in so many different ways. And folks think that, you know, because your body has expired, that your life is retired, but it's not.
No.
You know, and that's another conversation. That's a whole nother show. I got one of those for you too. Okay. Because there's something else that's going on. And if you narrow your bandwidth and you narrow your thinking, your small mind, to believing that this is it, well, it may be it for you, but it ain't it for me. I got 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 more lifetimes. So, Melinda, please tell my brains Do you have the names of your the books, that the anthologies that you were in, so that they can look them up on Amazon? And also how to get in contact with you, because I want them to work with you. You got it.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm excited about it. Right now, I'm going to tell you, you're going to get the scoop. Are you ready? Okay. Right now, livingthedreambusiness.com. That's www.livingthedreambusiness.com. I am launching a brand new website Friday. Okay. It's going to be Friday. I don't even know what the date is. I just know that that's the target. So it's Friday. I've got brand new courses up. I've got some freebie stuff all over the place. I've got my brand, you know, my new magazine. I've had a magazine going on 6 years now. So I've got my digital magazine out there, and it's going to all change. I'm doing all kinds of stuff.
I'm sorry. Let me stop you right there. The digital magazine, is it also called Living the Dream Business?
It's called Living the Dream Business Magazine. Yes, ma'am. And I am out there every other month. I bring entrepreneurs who are ready to take off. We cover 22 countries, and it's just, I love it. And I love meeting people through it. And I tell people all the time, if you can write, please call me. I'm ready to put you out there and see what you've got to offer the world.
Wow.
Because that's really, I do. I tell people all the time, and you'd be amazed how many people I say, come, I'm looking for some new column. Tell me what you have. Tell me what we can share, what we can split together. And you would think that people don't know how to pick up a pen. So I'm saying that right now. If you have a good, in your audience, if they have a good story and they're ready to share their business, I'm at melinda@livingthedreambusiness.com.
Well, I better get my pen out. Because I got, you know, I got some information that I can offer that has really been, you know, the recipe for success for me. I mean, I've been doing this podcast for 14 years. I know some people that don't even get through 14 episodes.
Yes. You know? And I tell you, that's something that's tremendous. It's a talent. It's a blessing that you can do that.
I've been in business and an entrepreneur since I was 5 years old. When you and your mama was sewing them dresses, I was selling candy, okay?
There you go.
My father taught me financial literacy at a very early age, the terms and the conditions. And, you know, and my mother was very loving and nurturing, but she was very honest about what a woman's role and responsibility in her home, but also in her business, because my mother is very, very smart. And she only graduated, she only went to the eighth grade. You know, and I have no shame about that or embarrassment about that, because she has made me the woman that I am today. You know,
well,
overserved and underlooked, disenfranchised, a member of nine kids, you know, so there's a lot going on in the world. But see, what shocks me is that still level of ignorance, and ignorance only means not knowing, still surfaces in 2020.
Isn't that the truth?
Same.
You know, I've got to say this, and it's one of my most frustrated. I'm going to give you a frustration here. When I tell people, hey, have you ever tried whatever it is to do whatever? Right. Mm-hmm. They look at me and they go, oh no, I couldn't do that. Yeah. I'm like, excuse me?
My eyeballs are incredible.
Thank you. I go, excuse me. I just look at them like, what in the world are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Right. And they look at me and they're like, well, you know, I don't see a lot of you. I said, cause I do mine differently. How other people do theirs is theirs. I said, but I'm telling you what you do best. So one step outside of that comfort zone, one little step, even a toe could be the answer that you are looking for to grow that business.
Right.
So go ahead, stick your toe out, put your toe in the water and see if maybe you can do this. Mm-hmm. Because when you're ready to take that little toe, put it in the water, you might find out that it's not quite as cold as you think it is.
Absolutely.
You might discover, oh God, I want to jump in the deep end. Thank you, God, for opening this door. You might see some more opportunities, and you may not know it, but you'll find more friends that are already been out there waiting on you.
Right. Or sometimes you might stick your toe in the water and get a bit off, but you know what? You got nine more.
That's right. Well, I look at it as, you didn't know it before. Now you know it.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. What in my best Kevin Hart voice? You're going to learn today.
And that's so, the truth.
This has been amazing. Before we conclude, I want to ask you a magical question. You had three wishes. You had three incredible wishes.
Okay.
What would they be?
My first wish in reality is that people would understand. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what religion. I don't care anything. You are only as free as the person next to you. Because if you're not respecting their rights, right? You respect your own rights and you respect their rights. Boundaries would be out of respect. That's the first thing, right? Because I'm not going to push my way over to your house and tell you how to live in your house. I'm going to stay in my house and I'm going to live my way. You're going to stay in your house and you're going to live in your way. And then when we meet outside, we're both okay because we both know where we are. Okay. So I want people to understand that. It starts with respect, but not just respect for other people. You have to have respect for yourself. Okay. Who you are and the strength you bring.
That's
my first wish. My second wish is to understand that there are people who need whatever talent, skill, knowledge, or wisdom that you bring to the table. Somebody needs it. And somebody could use it. And they can go beyond their stuck in the hole because you got it. And you're keeping it secret. It's time to get out there and share it. That's number two. And number three, will everybody stop thinking that anybody is picking on you? Get down off that piece of wood, chop it up, give it to somebody for Christmas, for the winter, because you are not him, which means your journey is still to keep going forward.
Did you hear that, Brains? Her wishes were not for her. Her wishes were for us.
That's right.
You know, and I got goose pimples. Thank you, sister.
Yeah.
You know, because it is not about me. It is about we.
That's right.
And how are we going to get there? You know, even when you die, Brains, you need somebody to carry your casket.
Hallelujah. That's right.
You need somebody to carry your ashes.
That's
so you're not in this world by yourself.
Never.
Okay.
Never.
But that's not how it was designed.
No.
But I'm so glad that you are here with me and Melinda Cooper on the edge, the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Go ahead and subscribe because we got some other heavy-hitting conversations here to help you heal, to help you learn, to help you laugh, learn how to cook. Stop smoking. You know, we doing it all here on the edge. We've been doing it for 14 years and we're going to do it for 14 more. Thank you so much for being here with me, Melinda. Oh. You are such a joy.
Thank you.
You are such a joy, my sister. And we're going to make it through because the struggle is real.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And we are going to develop and design a dream business. That could be anything. Selling cookies, selling cars, selling mansions. Or selling the heart and selling the soul. And that's what you've done for me today. Thank you so much for being here. Come back and see me real soon. Promise?
I will. Thank you.
All right.
All right.